go to the airport and stuff.
Really?
And like, I got to drop off at 7. There it is.
Hey, I'm Jake.
Hi, I'm Sarah. Nice to meet you.
Whoa. What are you doing? You know, no touching before the marriage, right? Because touching just leads to bad things.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
My name's Mark. What's your name?
Oh, I'm Sarah. Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you. Do you love kids?
I never really thought about
that. Okay, because I love kids. I mean, I want to have tons of them. I mean, the first one, naturally, I'd name Adam. And then if they're boys, you know, like Cain and then Abel. Well, maybe not, you know, Cain wasn't that great, but whatever.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Yeah.
I'm Sarah.
Nice to meet you, Sarah. Well, you know what the Bible says about it. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Well, I need my eyes to drive, so I just wear this when I know there's going to be women around.
How beautiful you are, my darling. Your eyes behind your veil and doves, your eyes like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead.
Hi, I'm Bruce. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Father God, tell me if this is the girl that I'm going to marry. Please make it clear right now if I'm going to marry this girl.
I would love to shake your hand, but that was inappropriate. I'm sorry.
And then some of the girls I'd like to name, like Eve and Ada and Zella, and you know, I'd want to stay away from like Jezebel or Bathsheba. I don't think they're very good.
Well, you know, I'm no King David. I mean, look what happened to him when he looked at a woman.
Tell me, you whom I love.
Right now, make it clear, Father God.
Do you go here?
I was also thinking like Oklahoma. I know it's not biblical, but I think it'd be a really cool name to name a daughter, you know? Like Oklahoma, the musical, it's one of my favorite musicals ever.
Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon.
Nice to meet you.
Did you hear that? I'm gonna go call Mom and Dad.
This is torture. Wanna skip this and go get a cup of coffee?
Yes.
Hey, hey, Mom and Dad are on the phone. They wanna welcome you to the family. Hold on, what was your name again?
You know, unfortunately, those are the images that sometimes come to mind when we think of Christian singles, isn't it? I mean, we have this idea that something that single and Christian that go together might look something like that. And when we read a passage like we began reading last week talking about available, we've been looking at Genesis chapter 24. And as we continue to read this passage like the following that I'm fixing to read, you know, on the surface, it seems to reinforce those perceptions, but it's only on the surface. I want you to turn with me, if you have a Bible tonight, to Genesis chapter 24. If you don't, it will be up on the screen. I want to begin reading in verse 10, Genesis chapter 24. I'm going to read quite a few verses here because this is a pretty long passage that we're going to look at, continue to look at tonight and finishing up next week. And I think that once you see the whole story, you may be familiar with it if you're not. But once you see this entire story as we read it out, it is a very, very beautiful picture of God's plan for, you know, for singles. And you say, well, what if I'm not single? What if I'm dating somebody? What if I'm in a good relationship? I'm telling you, the principles that we've looked at last week, the question that came to mind at the very end of last week was, this is not just for singles, and this is not just for our singleness. And the issue came up last week was one of trust. Let me read Genesis 24, beginning reading in verse 10. Listen to what it says, and just kind of catch you up a context. Abraham was looking for a wife for his son Isaac. So he sent his chief servant, and he told him, he said, I want you to promise on oath, and I want to send you to my people. You go back to my people, you find a wife for my son Isaac, and bring her back here. And the servant even questioned him. He said, what if the woman won't come? He said, shall I take your son back there? He said, no, absolutely not. He said, my God, they'll go before you, the one who called me, the one who spoke to me on oath and promised me, he said he would give me to this land and to my offspring. He will grant you success. Now listen to verse 10. Let's jump right in. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left. I give you 10 camels for the woman. 10 camels. No, I don't know. I heard that the other day, and it just like stuck in my mind. And that's when I read that, that's what I pictured. You know, the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. Man, I could preach that verse one day. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time when women come out to draw water. Verse 12, then he prayed, O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today, and showed kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar and that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let it be, excuse me, I'm having a hard time reading tonight. I don't know why. I've read this passage like 900 times, and I feel like I should quote it. But listen to what it says. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a beka and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She answered him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Milcah bore to Nahor. And she added, we have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night. Then the man bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. That's a powerful text when you read it. Last week, we saw clearly that we can trust God with our singleness. That when you think of the issue of your singleness and your relationships, particularly when you're thinking in the context of when it becomes time that you begin to want to maybe get married, meet someone, we saw last week that we can trust God with that issue. And the basis on that was the fact that we can trust him with our eternal destiny. Because we saw last week when the servant questioned Abraham about whether he would be successful in going back and finding a wife for Isaac, Abraham's response had to do with and was based on the fact that God had promised him on oath, saying, look, I will give you this land and I will give it to your offspring. And based on his future, based on the promise of his destiny, he equated that to the fact that he could trust God with the singleness of his son Isaac. How much more, if you are trusting Jesus tonight for your eternal destiny, if the future of your soul is dependent on that Savior who died on the cross for you, then how much more, if you can trust him in that, how much more can you trust him with the issue of your singleness? And we saw that last week. But you know, this also raises a question. It does. It raises a question. When we think about this issue of trusting God with our singleness, a common question for singles, there is a very common, legitimate question for singles. A common question for singles is, what if God hasn't answered my prayers? That's the common question, isn't it? I mean, think about it for just a moment. It's a legitimate question that most singles ask. I'm looking, but he hasn't shown me anything. What if God hasn't? It's a common, legitimate question for every single. You say, yeah, I'm looking, I'm praying, I'm asking, but God hasn't answered my prayers. That's a common question. The truth of the matter is, this issue of trust, when you think about trusting God with your singleness, but yet you feel like God has not answered your prayers, and that's a dilemma, that's a predicament that you find yourself in maybe. And when you think about trust and the issue of trust with your singleness, trust is empty until it is played out on the stage of our lives. It is. Think about it for a moment. Trust, faith in God is very empty, it's very hollow, it's very shallow until it's actually played out in our lives. We say, you know, we want to grow in our faith, and then God brings us some things that require us to trust Him when it's difficult. I mean, you think about it for a moment. In order to trust God even more, it is going to require something that only God can do. It is going to require a situation, a circumstance, a problem that only God is big enough to handle. That's the only way you and I will grow in our faith. And that is equally true with this issue of being single. When trusting God, we stand in churches every Sunday morning and we sing songs and talk about this issue, and preachers preach on this issue of faith, trusting God, learning to trust God, learning to have faith in God. But it's so hollow and it's so shallow and it's so empty until when? Until it's played out in our lives. Until, in other words, we actually have to do something. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 again says this: the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left. You see, the servant could have stood there and he could have trusted all day long that the God of his master Abraham was going to make his journey successful. But that trust and that faith would have all been empty until it was proven when he left. And it says, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. Listen to what it says. He set out. He set out. You see, until you really, you can say, you know, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. I have faith in God. But until you actually set out to do something where you are required to see God fulfill it, to see God bring it about, you never really experience that trust. It would be like me giving you a ticket. Where would you like to go, Catherine? Anywhere in the world. Where would you love to go? Canada. Okay. You want to go to Canada. You want to go to Prince George. Oh, British Columbia. Get on the west side. Both those guys just went. I've been to Prince George. So, okay. Say you want to go to Prince George, British Columbia. And you say, you know what? All my life I've wanted to go to Prince George, British Columbia in Canada. I mean, I want to get up there at the very tip top of the Rocky Mountains, up there where the Continental Divide just kind of starts. I want to get up there in the middle of nowhere, in the wilderness. I want to go to Prince George. And I hand you a ticket, and I say, here's your ticket to Prince George, British Columbia. You can have all the confidence in the world, but you know what? It will not mean anything. That ticket will not mean anything until you get on that plane and fly away. Until his servant set out, the trust that was talked about, the faith in this God that would bring success and would bring a wife for his son Isaac, would have meant nothing until he set out on the journey to see God accomplish what God had promised. You can have all the promises of God you want, and they'll do you and me no good until we begin to put some shoe leather to the ground. You say, what are you talking about? Abraham, of all people, understood the concept of faith in action. He moved from his country when God spoke to him. Listen to what Hebrews 11:8 says about Abraham's faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, listen to this, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham's faith did him absolutely no good until he set out. And this servant, on the promise of his master Abraham, said, "My God, who has been faithful to me thus far, he will make your journey successful in finding a wife for my son Isaac." Your singleness is an opportunity. It is an opportunity for you to put faith in action. It is an opportunity for you to trust God and learn to trust Him more. But it raises a question, doesn't it? It says, okay, what if God hasn't answered that prayer yet? What if God hasn't come through, so to speak? Well, when you think about your faith being put to the test, it actually requiring you to do something, it actually requiring you to trust God in this issue of your singleness, in the issue of relationships, it brings up a whole new question for us. I want you to see a very important question to singles. You say, what's this important question for singles? Am I pursuing God's plan? Am I pursuing God's plan? That is an important question to singles. You see, the first question we have is, what if he hadn't answered my prayers? I ain't got, look here, I'm still by myself. There's no one here. I hadn't found anybody. I'm searching. Man, God told me he would, you know, that he would come through. I could trust him in this issue, but here I am, still alone. I'm still singing, one is the loneliest number. I mean, that was an old song, I know, but I'm old, so it fits. But, I mean, you're still singing that same old song. You're flying solo. You're just, here you are. You're by yourself. And you say, what if God hasn't answered? What if God hasn't come through? Then the real question, then the important question is, am I pursuing God's plan? Did you notice what the servant did? Based off the information from his master Abraham, based off the promise that Abraham had, based off the fact that his master sent him out, he obeyed and he set out on a journey. Listen to verse 12. When he gets there in the town of Nahor, listen to what it says. Verse 12 says, then he prayed. Oh, Lord, I'm telling you, listen to these verses very closely, these three verses. Oh, Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink and I'll water your camels too, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. Did you catch that? Let her be the one you have chosen. We say with our mouth that we trust God. We say with our mouth that we want God's plan. But I'm afraid our actions belie our true feelings. Instead of trusting God and pursuing His plan, we say we trust God, but then we go about pursuing our own agenda and our own plan. In other words, we say with our mouth, oh, I'm trusting God, but we're busy back here on the side working our own deal. We're busy over here pursuing our own agenda. Yeah, God's got this, but I'm going to go do this instead. I'm waiting on God, but while I'm waiting on God, I'm going to do this. And we're pursuing our own plan. And here's what we do. When we're pursuing our plan, instead of trusting God, what we usually do is we force the issue. We try to force the issue. In other words, you've seen it. We hate everybody who comes along. We tend to look at everybody who comes along. Everybody we meet becomes an automatic possibility for us. I mean, we're busy. We're working. We're forcing the issue. We're saying, I'm tired of being single. I want to meet somebody, and I've got to take care of this myself. I'll date this person. I mean, it was like that Christian speed dating, wasn't it? I mean, they'll walk into a room, or they'll walk into a ministry, they'll walk into a church, and from A to Z, go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and keep going down the line because they're forcing the issue. We're pursuing our own plan and our own agenda. Or, secondly, we go after the wrong people. We're so desperate in our situation. We're so untrusting. We say we trust God. God's got this. God, you know, I know God's going to bring me somebody. I know, but man, I really like this person over here. And I know that they're probably, well, they say they're a Christian. They go to church sometimes. at least on, you know, Easter. And we force the issue. And then we go after the wrong people. We spend our efforts pursuing those people who we have no business considering. Well, they go to church. That's like saying, you know, just because I'm standing in a garage makes me a car. You know? They go to church, they're a Christian. No. I mean, that's the truth. We try to force the issue, and we just kind of scan the gamut and just go down the line. Or we just go after totally the wrong people. Oh, well, you know, this is who I like. This is who I want to go after. And while we're busy pursuing our own plan, you know what we do? We stand around wondering why it ain't working out. We're saying we trust God, but yet we're pursuing our plan, and then we're questioning God why it's not working out, why it's not going smoothly, why the pieces are not falling together. And God's like, I thought you were trusting me. Here's the plan I've got for you. But you're busy over here doing this. And that's what we do as singles. And the question we have to ask ourselves, am I pursuing God's plan? Abraham's servant made it clear that he was not looking for someone. He made it clear he was looking for God's plan. He said, plainly, simply, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. It wasn't so much about the person for Abraham's servant as it was about the plan that God had for Isaac, his master's son. He was more interested in God's success, God's plan being worked out in this situation, than he was the who. Now, I like the fact, well, I'll get into that for a minute. It's just kind of a humorous observation. You know the big difference between praying for God to send you someone versus asking God what his plan is for your life? Here's the problem. Most of the time, we don't bother asking God for his plan, and we don't bother praying to God, not because we don't think God is going to answer our prayer, but because we're afraid he might. I'm serious. You think about it for just a moment. A lot of the times we don't bother praying, not because we don't believe God, not because we don't believe God can come through, not because we don't believe God will answer us, but because we're probably afraid that he will answer us. If I pray too much, God just might answer my prayer. He might just show up, and his plan might be vastly different than my plan. His plan might be a total different plan than what I have in mind for my life. And so I'm not going to bother praying too much about this issue. And there's an enormous difference between praying for God to send you someone versus asking God, what's your plan for my life? You know, we're busy over here saying, God, I want somebody, I want somebody, I want somebody, I want somebody. Instead of saying, God, what is your plan for my life? And that raises another question. That takes us to another level. It takes us to a very challenging question for singles. And here it is. This is where he kind of winds up. A challenging question for singles. Is there something God wants me to do or be first? We're so busy consumed with this issue of our singleness that we miss the fact that God might have a plan in this. God might have an agenda and a purpose in this, and we're so busy concerned about someone that we miss the fact that there might be something that God wants me to do or God wants me to be first. You say, where are you talking about? This has to do with a timing issue. You see, we want the answer now. You know, we live in a culture that, I mean, everything needs to happen immediately, quickly. I mean, my computer needs to be faster. It needs to be quicker. It needs to be just sharper. My internet service, wow. I remember when AOL first, I'm going to go further back. I'm going to really tell my age. I remember when you took the phone, the handset, you stuck it on top of the modem, and it transmitted sounds from the earpiece into a transmitter, and that's how it got onto the internet. I am not joking. My first modem had two round circular cups on it, and you put the handset from the telephone down in it. That's old and slow. Lord have mercy. My first computer, oh gosh, I'm telling myself really old here. My first computer had 4K of memory. You type that much in like two sentences now. That's crazy. But we want it fast. We want the answer now. And this issue for our singleness is no different. We want the answer now, whereas God may have something more important for that moment in your life. Is there something God wants me to do or to be first? It's a timing issue. Listen to verse 15 and following. I love this. Before he had finished praying, God's still praying. He hadn't even finished praying yet. Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. I love the statement next verse, and I'm going to show you the humor in it. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. Listen to this. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water from your jar." Now, it's amazing that he asks and he prays and says, "Look, I'm standing beside God, the God of my master Abraham. You've sent me on this journey. My master has sent me. I'm standing beside this spring. All of these daughters of the townspeople are coming out. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please give me please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' that she will say, 'Drink and I'll water your camels too. Let her be her the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac.'" Isn't it amazing that he picked the beautiful virgin to go ask? Smart man. I mean, I can just see it. I'm sorry. I'm a man, and I'm just seeing the humor in this. Okay, you know, God, when let it be that the one that I ask, she's the one. Let it be the one that I, not her, God. Let it be the one that I ask. Oh, Lord, no, not her, God. Okay, God, please, let it be the one that I'm asking. That would be the one you have chosen. And she looks pretty good. Let it be the one that I ask that you have chosen. Wow. Can I have a drink of water? I mean, I'm just picturing it. I mean, my master sends me out to find a wife for his son Isaac. And, like, he pays my salary and provides my living and takes care of my family. And I eat at his table. Man, I'm going for a 10. I'm going for the beautiful young virgin. I like the fact that it says she was beautiful and she was a virgin. No man had ever, and in case you didn't know what a virgin is, it says no man had ever lain with her. I guess they just wanted to be clear, make this without a doubt. Here's the deal. God's timing is perfect. Those verses tell us God's timing is perfect. Not only did God lead him to the very family of his master Abraham, but he timed it perfect so that when he was praying this prayer, this fleece of a prayer that says God, it was not setting up a condition with God, because he made the statement that, "I want the one you have chosen, God." He didn't say, "That's the one, now give me a sign." He says, "Show me the one you have chosen." God's timing was absolutely perfect. And it teaches us that not only can we trust God, not only should we pursue God's plan, but perhaps this season of singleness in your life is the opportunity for you to be the person that God has called you to be, for you to do the things and pursue the things that God is calling you to pursue. So many times we look at singleness as a disease, you know, and everybody's trying to find you a cure. You know, they're fixing you up with everybody. I've got a friend who's 37, 38, still single, he said, "Look, I'm like too old now." He said, "I'm cut used to being alone all these years. I'm just about good with it now." And forever and a day, everybody was always trying to fix him up. And, you know, we look at singleness as some kind of sickness or disease, like we need to cure you of that. But the truth of the matter is, oftentimes singleness is that season. Trust me, it is a season in your life which you will have no more opportunity to serve God than at that moment. Never in your life will you be able to focus so clearly, put so much energy, effort, and attention to your walk with God and God's plan for your life than when you're single. I'm married, and I can tell you the truth of that. Maybe the real question is, not God sends me somebody, not God, who is it, but God, what is your timing for me right now? What is it that you have for me to do or to be right now in this time in my life? God's timing is perfect. You know what's amazing that's easy to overlook in this passage? The beautiful picture of God's timing is perfect is in Isaac. How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? Somebody speak up. 100 years old. If there's ever an example of God's timing being perfect, it's Isaac himself. The one who's single. The one that his father's trying to find him a wife for. It's Isaac. Isaac is the perfect example of that God's timing is perfect. What happened when the issue was forced? What happened when they pursued another plan besides God's plan? What happened when they took the agenda on themselves, forced the issue, and tried to come up with a solution on their own? Who was born? Ishmael. Beautiful example. The whole story, it's easy. We read this text and we overlook the fact that Isaac is a living example of the fact that God can be trusted. God's timing is perfect. God has a plan. He has an agenda. He has a purpose and a pursuit for our life. And it is going to be a beautiful thing. But it's going to be in His time. And it's going to be when He wants it. And in the meantime, as Abraham, we should be out there about doing what God wants us to do now. I mean, all those years, Abraham wanted a son. He took matters into his own hand, even though God had promised him, pursued his own agenda, and wound up with Ishmael, which caused division in his family and in Israel to this day. The descendants of Ishmael are still at odds and at war with the descendants of Isaac to this day. And you know what? Good old US of A is right in the middle of it. Because we pursue God's plan, His timing is perfect. That brings us to the point that I want to make tonight. You know, last week we talked all about trust, and now we see how empty that trust can be. But that trust is best applied by pursuing God's plan for your singleness. We can talk about trust and having faith in God, but it is best applied when we're pursuing what God's plan is. Do we really want God's plan for our life? Is there something God wants for your life right now in this season of your singleness? And it's waiting. He has laid it there. But we're so busy doing our own thing that we're totally missing it. I ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment. Is there something that God wants you to do or to be first before anything else? I can tell you with a certainty, God's very best, very perfect plan for your life tonight, first of all, tonight, right now, without any doubt, is for you to have a personal and intimate relationship with Him. That is God's very best and perfect plan for your life right now. It begins with a relationship with Him, and that only comes through the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we must repent of our sins. Turn from that sin. Put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. What He did on Calvary's cross as a payment and for the punishment of our sin. And to receive eternal life. Forgiveness of that sin. So that we can be restored to a right relationship with God. God's plan for you tonight is simply for you to have a relationship with Him. I'm here to tell you tonight, God is madly head over heels in love with you. He loved you so much that He sent His own Son to die on a cross that you could be forgiven. If you don't know Him, if you don't have that intimate companionship with God, that close friendship, day by day, talking with God, living in an intimate communion with Him, you want a relationship with Him tonight. You want to know what that's like and experience that for yourself. And let me encourage you to just invite Him into your life tonight. Right where you sit, your head's bowed, your eyes closed, no one looking around. I encourage you. You want a relationship with Him? Here it is. Invite Him into your life tonight. Just say, God, I realize that I'm a sinner tonight. I realize that because of my sin, it has separated me from You. And I can do nothing good enough to earn my way into Your family. So God, I turn from my sin tonight. I ask You to forgive me. I'm trusting what Jesus did on the cross as payment for my sin. Lord, I give my life to You. I ask You to come and to be the Lord of my life, to give me a brand new start tonight. Lord, make me whole. Change me, transform me tonight. God, thank You for saving me. Thank You for hearing my prayer. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, let me ask you something. Did you pray that prayer for the first time tonight? Or maybe for the first time in your life you meant it? Why don't you do me a favor? Just slip your hand up right now. You say, Bodie, I prayed that prayer. I invited Jesus Christ into my heart tonight. Just slip your hand up right now. Anybody? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Just raise your hand. Then let me ask you another question. You know Him. You have a relationship with Him. Let me ask you a very simple question. What is it that God wants for your life right now? What are you pursuing? Is it your plan? Is it your scheme? Are you really, truly pursuing God's plan for your life? I want you to just take a few moments in this intimate setting. I want to invite you to come and get on your face before God. Join me at this altar and just say, maybe make a fresh commitment tonight. Say, God, I've been kind of doing this and doing that, but I really, deep down in my heart, I honestly haven't been pursuing what You have planned for my life. But God, I want to. Maybe just slip out of your seat right now and just come get on your face before God. Maybe saying, you know what, God, I've been trying to force this issue in my singleness, but I realize tonight that God, You have something in store. You have something else in mind. And I know Your timing is perfect. So God, I'm just coming tonight to saying, wake me up to what it is You want for me right now. Show me what it is. Reveal to me tonight, God, what it is that You want me to be doing right now. Show me the person I need to be today. Come on, just join me at this altar. Just slip out of your seat right now. Just follow God. Listen to Him. Maybe you want somebody to pray with you. Maybe there's some things going on in your life and you're just kind of confused right now. And you just want somebody to pray with you. Just come take my hand and say, Bodie, will you pray with me? I'd be glad to. I'd be honored. Maybe you came with someone, or maybe the person sitting next to you, just grab their hand and say, hey, would you go to the altar and pray with me? They'd be glad to, I can assure you. Father, I pray that this invitation would be Your invitation. Lord, I pray that You would change hearts and You would challenge us tonight. Lord, that we would examine very closely what it is we're pursuing with the energy and efforts and attention of our life. God, I pray that we would respond to You, that You would reveal Yourself in a fresh way. Lord, let Your will be done.